Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast. I'm Ian Welsh, and I'm with Dr. Sipho Nkambule, the CEO of the Swaziland Cane Growers Association, and we're at Innovation Forum's Sustainable Sugarcane event that we're co-hosting with Bonsucro. Welcome, Dr. Sipho.
Thank you, Ian.
We've been talking about the impact of the abolition of the EU sugar beet quotas in 2017 on sugarcane producers elsewhere in the world. So how much of your members in Swaziland's products are exported to the EU?
From the Swaziland perspective, we export about 400,000 tons of our sugar to the EU. If you look at it from the SADC perspective, it's about 10 to 20% of the production from there.
From the wider region?
From the region, yes. The Southern African Development Community region comprises 15 countries and 9 of them produce sugar.
Okay. What proportion is that of your crop then?
From the Swaziland
yes.
aspect, this is about 50% of our crop.
And so what are the main challenges then that the changes in the EU sugar beet quotas will bring for you?
My understanding is that notionally the EU market will still be open to us. But what is obvious is that with the removal of the quotas, there will be increased production within the EU itself. And there are talks of increased production from elsewhere. So what that means is it will be really the survival of the most efficient and maybe survival of the wittiest. This increased production might mean the prices in the EU coming down, but the other aspect of it is that the world prices are sort of artificial at the moment because of these protectionist arrangements. And as we are sprinting towards 2017, we can see the world prices going up. So there might be convergence between the EU price and the world price. Coming to specific challenges that it will pose for us, first of all, we don't have well-established marketing capacity because we've always had a secure market. And we have a lot of marginal poverty alleviation projects in Southern Africa and in Swaziland in particular. So if the guaranteed minimum price is removed, there is a possibility of collapse of some marginal growers. And then the other implication is that we have to look for alternative markets if we experience reduction in the volume of sugar that goes into the EU.
So are you seeing these changes then perhaps as an opportunity for innovation?
Absolutely. I think my belief is that they are actually calling for us to look inside ourselves and see how we can be more efficient and how we can do things differently. And one of the innovations I would like to see in Swaziland and Southern Africa in particular is mainstreaming of growers in alternative revenue sources. For instance, we talk a lot about renewable energy being cogeneration of electricity, being ethanol, etc. But what seems to dominate is that the millers are the ones who are actually driving that and benefiting from it. But early this year, I was in France and I was impressed to see a methane plant in a farm that generated electricity using beet pulp. So I would like to see a situation in Southern Africa where there are power plants based on bagasse and other fiber in the farms. South Africa have put up a kind of trial plant. We hope that is going to spread. So basically, I would like to see the growers playing a bigger role in alternative revenue sources. Still on alternative revenue sources, we would like to see the gap between milling and growing narrowing down. And one of the innovative ways which we have seen started in South Africa is having growers actually owning shares in mills. And maybe we can compensate by having millers also having some interest in the field so that the common interest is enhanced.
And I guess there are a number of efficiencies that the farmers and the millers and the industry in general can bring in that will enable them to compete better on prices.
Absolutely. One of them is to look at the economies of scale. We talk a lot about smallholder growers. We don't want to disenfranchise them from their lands. But one of the innovations in Swaziland and other SADC countries is to actually organize these small growers into farmer companies, farmer cooperatives, and farmer associations so that they farm together, but they still identify with their lands and with their shares. So we would like to see that. And then when the industry was designed, some of the infrastructure was not as efficient as it should be. And with the assistance of the European Union, we have already embarked on building bridges where there were no bridges, building roads where there were no roads. That cuts the transport costs for the growers and thus reduce the production costs. And hopefully that is going to improve efficiency.
Do you think that the global sugar supply industry in general is ready to engage properly with smallholder farmers, particularly when in these times of changing prices? And more than that, is it ready for sustainability or for sustainable supply chains?
The answer to that question depends on who we are talking about. If you are looking at corporate companies and growers, they are closer to being ready. Not that they are ready. I don't think anybody is really ready. But when you deal with the smallholder growers who don't have the support capacity to implement the sustainability pillars, it's a bigger challenge. And secondly, if you are talking about the developed world, when they go to the shop, they look for a certain type of sugar, whereas people in the developing countries are just looking for sugar. And that goes for other products as well. So I think there are some gaps in the readiness for sustainability. But having said that, I must say that I don't see the momentum towards sustainability going back. It's just a question of doing it in a responsible manner that is not going to destroy the industry, especially in developing parts of the world like Southern Africa.
And I guess for your members, achieving more sustainable sugar supply chains in Swaziland, that then gives them access to buyers in the European Union who are more desirous of transparency and other things and impact assessment that give them access to that market.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that is going to help us survive is to actually carve some niche markets. And you can carve niche markets by actually pandering to what the consumer wants. If the consumer wants certain elements of sustainability, then you can actually position yourself as the supplier of choice compared to other suppliers. So be it in the European market, we need to adopt elements of sustainability in order to brand and position ourselves. But not only in the European Union, also in the rest of the world, we must be able to say our product is different and special so that we can carve greater niche markets for ourselves.
Well, I'll be looking out for Swaziland sugar on the shelves in the shops in the UK. Dr. Sipho, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for having me here.